Triple M's.
Oh! That has gone sideways!
My word!
That has gone sideways!
Oh. Cricket Fan Podcast.
Bloody hell!
The Ashes might be over, but there's still plenty happening in the cricket world, from the hilarity of the Caribbean Premier League to the relentlessness of county cricket. And the Triple M Fan Cricket Podcast is here to take you through all of it. I'm your host, Rudy Edsel. I'm joined by Tommy Beers.
G'day, Rudy.
Ethan Meldrum, who I asked for a stat 3 days ago, and I just got it in the corridor.
Very quick turnaround.
Thanks for that. For a man who's basically spreadsheet, you've really...
I've really gone full Steve Smith digging in there.
Yeah. And, of course, our resident POM, Matthew Bellotti. How are you going, mate?
Hello, I'm very good, thank you.
It's just another day where the sun's shining and Australia has the Ashes, isn't it? Really? So we did promise you at the end of the last podcast that we'd come and do a bit of a wrap of the whole Ashes. We decided to leave it for a couple of days because, frankly, we were all pretty tired. we just wanted to relive our Ashes predictions. Obviously, it finished 2-2 with the Aussies retaining. Steve Smith was man of the series, and I think Stokes got the consolation one for England. Steve Smith, most runs, 774. Pat Cummins, most wickets, with 29. Beersy had collated everyone's predictions and sent them to me earlier.
Went back through the archives and found what we cobbled together in the first episode.
Right. This is dangerous.
No. This is dangerous.
Oh, dear. This is almost as shaky as Jason Roy opening the bat.
We'll start with the scoreline. I think it's fair to say there's a few pessimists in the room because Bellotti went with a 3-2 scoreline to Australia. I went with a 3-2 scoreline to England. Ethan went with a 3-1 scoreline to England. Oh. And Tom Beers, bang on, picked the 2-2 draw.
Thank you.
So you'd have to be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I'll take that. I was convinced there was always going to be one test that was going to get rained out.
Yeah, you'd watch the World
bang
Cup,
on.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Take it, because it's probably all downhill from here.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, the next one is probably the biggest no-brainer most runs. So,
In hindsight, this seems like the easiest thing in the world.
Beersy said Steve Smith. Heath said Steve Smith. Bellotti said Steve Smith. I said Steve Smith. Me and you, Bellotti, we went with a couple of caveats. You said Stokes would make the most runs for England, which you got absolutely right.
Gone the
and I said Josh Butler would make the most runs for England, which was not right. And in fact, I think I might have predicted him out of the test side. So, yeah, not so good. Also not so good, our most wickets column here. This one's actually pretty ugly, this one. Bellotti.
I said Wokes, didn't I? I was going banging on about how he was going to hit the right length and cause all manner of problems.
You went massive on Chris Wokes. And I think you might have convinced Ethan because he went with Chris Wokes.
And he went in his online betting account on Chris Wokes, I think.
I went all in, not on the betting situation, but I had a man of the series.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Thanks.
I also went for a bloke who didn't play all the tests, Jimmy Pattinson. I think I was seduced a bit by the fire in the eyes
of the Dandenong destroyer, really, my
Victorian brethren. I can't believe none of us went for Pat Cummins because you, Tommy Beers, went with Nathan Lyon, which looked inspired about 4 days
very
into
good
the series.
for a brief period there, 9 wickets after the first test, I thought, we're on here. That would have been the clean sweep.
But, he looked like he was going to pull a Shane Warne 2005 at one stage.
I might have gone the early crow on him and then just put the slows on him from there.
So. To be fair, he still took, I think, 20 wickets in the end, which is a decent chunk for an off-spinner in England.
Yeah.
He's done not too badly there, despite Bellotti's...
Absolutely...
Slander, I think you'd call it.
What, three quarters of the series?
I think it's
almost
actionable.
Slander.
Libel. Yeah. You'll be hearing from Nathan Lyon's lawyer.
He went missing for three quarters of a series, yet still took 20 wickets, which is commendable.
So we also all picked our men of the series, if you will. Bellotti and Tommy Beers went with Steve Smith, which... I think you're almost cowardly.
Yeah, I think cowardly. Looking back, definitely.
Yeah,
cowardly.
It's hard being right.
Yeah. Hard to put any kind of a spin on Ethan's Chris Wokes prediction. He's actually dropped. Oh. Yeah. And then I went with...
I really put the miles on him.
I went with Ben Stokes, who was England's man of the series, because I thought that he'd really take it away from us. And I also...
Oh, look at all you three. You all got it right. Fair enough.
Well, I also said that if Australia won the series, Matty Wade would be man of the series. Oh. And we did, and he did. He wasn't.
You had two guesses, and you got both of them wrong.
Well, I mean, I got
he double dipped.
I got Stokes kind of right. Ish. Kind of right.
In a way. Ish. Kind of right. And to be fair, if it hadn't rained at Lord's, if we had a full test in there, England would have won the series 3-2. Stokes would have been man of the series. So, Rudy, you would have come through were it not for the terrible weather.
Yeah, okay, right.
So,
just,
so you kind of got it right, just like England kind of didn't lose the Ashes. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
And kind of won the World Cup. They won the moral Ashes and the moral World Cup.
I'm glad you've all come around to the voice of reason. Yeah.
We also ran through some likely headlines. Just on Ben Stokes, I went with Stokes does it again, destroys Australia, which I've got to say,
that's pretty good.
Was yeah, pretty close.
You were talking about the whole series.
I thought he'd rip the whole series to shreds, but he all he did was rip us to shreds in Headingley and then ripped his shoulder to shreds. So it didn't. It was close.
I'll give that a pass.
Yeah, I'll give that a pass. Yeah. Tom Beers, you went with injuries play a massive part in the series, which, to be fair, you could argue that they did. I'll give that a pass as well.
Jimmy Anderson, the next day after that podcast, broke down. And then Steve Smith gets
knocked out
as
well.
Of a test.
I'll give that a pass as well. Bellotti.
Oh, God.
Extremely controversial umpiring decision decides the series.
Oh, wow.
Which was super close. Again, actually,
bloody English rain. Yeah. Extremely controversial umpiring decision to have Joel Wilson at all. Yeah.
Let him stand in the middle for multiple tests. Yeah.
I reckon the first three words of that headline I'm really happy with. Really, because there were lots of
extremely controversial umpiring. Yeah.
That's fine. We'll leave it there.
And then my favourite one of these, and the one that was closest to right, in my opinion.
I can't remember what it is.
Ethan, 200-foot statue of Stuart Broad erected. Which got damn close. Yeah. I think if you're the Barmy Army, you'd pay for one, and you'd have it delivered to David Warner's front yard. Yeah.
When you get Warner out seven times in a series, you don't get your 200-foot statue after that, you're never going to get one.
As David Warner would say, you could really spot the bronze on that statue.
Yeah. I also asked everyone to put together a combined 11, and we're just going to discuss it here. None of us have seen the others, but I reckon they might be pretty similar.
Yeah.
Mine, I had Burns and Denley as the opening pair because Burns made 390 runs and Denley made, I think, 94 in the second test opening. So
he averaged more than 10.
It was slim pickings for the opening position.
I reckon there's a genuine argument that the best opening pair coming out of this series are Joe Burns and Dom Sibley.
I had Marnus Labuschagne at 3 because he was the best number 3 batsman in the series. Steve Smith, obviously.
Yep.
Ben Stokes at 5.
Yep.
Matthew Wade at 6 because of the couple of tons he made.
I've left 6 blank. Oh, I'm going to use some subfielders because there's nobody that deserves the spot. We're back with 10. It's fine.
And then, this is where we're at. Tim Payne as the captain and wicketkeeper batting at 7.
I think maybe Stokes as captain only because he's the best at reviewing.
I genuinely agree, but I think you probably have to give the captaincy to one of the blokes that captain in the series.
They were diabolical. They're the last people I'll be having captain on the basis of that series.
Well, Steve Smith maybe then.
Yeah, maybe.
Pat Cummins at 8, Joffre Archer at 9, yep. Josh Hazlewood 10, and then finally the 200-foot statue of Stuart Broad at 11.
Yep.
And I reckon that you guys' 11s are probably relatively similar.
Yes, identical.
Yeah, I had Joe Root in mind. For the favour of 450s rather than 2 centuries.
Oh, ahead of
Matthew Wade.
Where did you have him bat?
6.
I had him 5. Below Labuschagne and Smith. Like that.
Right. So
that 3 and 4 are untouchable.
Yep.
Yeah. And then Joe Root coming in at 5 because he sucks at 3 but didn't suck as much as everyone else.
I agree, but he didn't really... he didn't make a...
It wasn't a very influential.
He didn't define
series.
This, and he didn't make it.
They needed
single
him
defining,
to stand
yeah,
up.
Yeah, he needed to make at least 1 ton.
Yeah.
And I think I almost left him out of the 11 rather than didn't put him in. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's fair enough. It shows you how terrible the batting was.
Well,
isn't
it was pretty slim pickings.
I may as well have picked Curtis Patterson for whoever cares. Really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or Dom Sibley.
I had that 11, but I was contemplating whether to put Lyon or Archer into the 11.
I think you had to go with Archer.
And I leant towards Archer in the end, but purely for team balance, I would have liked, if you were going to play this side, you would like a frontline spinner. You don't know what conditions you're playing in. Obviously, it's a massive hypothetical, but on the stats that Joffre had 2 sixfers in the series, so that just tipped it into his favour.
He took 22 wickets at 20. I think he pretty much deserves his slot in the side.
I think we also have the Clerksdorp Cumblay at 3. Shane. So we're sorted for a spinner, mate.
Yeah, we got a bit of spin.
You actually, the stat that I asked you about, Ethan, that you gave me in the hallway just before was the Joffre Archer to Steve Smith stats, because he was brought in as the secret weapon who'll finally be the one that unkicks Steve Smith. And then what were his figures?
27.2 overs, none for 94.
Yeah, what a secret weapon.
About the same as everyone else. Yeah. I think he was just brought in as a really good bowler to take wickets, and he was absolutely brilliant.
After
it's just about the first time Steve Smith failed to make a century.
Yeah, true. From the 11s that we have, how similar do you think they'll be? So 2021-22 is the next Ashes series, so we're just over 2 years away, about as long as you can be from any Ashes at any point. And looking at the 11s, you'd imagine that Marnus Labuschagne and Steve Smith will still be there for Australia. You can't see Matty Wade.
No.
Can't see Tim Payne. But the Pat Cummins, Nathan Lyon, Josh Hazlewood.
They'll still pick Peter Siddle in the squad.
Yeah.
The sixth
just to run bananas or something. Yeah. Jokes aside, I don't think we'll see Siddle play another test for Australia.
Yeah, I think he's. But how often have we said this? That's honestly true. Like, they just keep picking him.
Yeah, and then
they just go, oh, he's in the squad, but he won't bloody play. And then they pick him again.
So those three will still be there. Dave Warner, you'd imagine it would still be there. Like, you think he'll just keep playing home series forever? He has cemented his legacy as a flat track bully.
If he's not a Caribbean Premier League opening batsman by then.
Yeah, true.
There's bound to be a controversy between now and then that sees David Warner
finally banished for good.
Blacklisted.
Finally give him the full Kevin Peterson.
It's got the makings of that. I hope that statement ages well. But we'll wait and see.
So it's a much more settled. It's not that unsettled a look for Australia. And you also, the last most recent test had Mitch Marsh batting at 6, and you can definitely see him his first name on the team sheet for the Gabba in 2021.
Well, Labuschagne's an interesting one as well, because
captaining the side.
As much as he had a good series, he still hasn't made 100 yet. It's quite important the next 12 months that he, you know, doesn't go full Usman Khawaja and just be this unfulfilled kind of talent.
He also
averages
50 in the most bowler dominated series I can remember. Any cricket.
Hats off to him. He's had a great series, but he's got a big 12 months ahead of him to cement himself. Yeah. And if he locks himself in over the next 12 months, then he'll probably.
If you're looking to cement yourself, a home series against Pakistan is it's real fill your boots series.
Absolutely.
On the other side of the equation there, Blots. England.
Yeah, I reckon we've got seven of the names in that team sheet that will be there for the next little while. It's interesting picking the touring squad. There are some names. We mentioned Dom Sibley already. He'll be close. Zach Crawley's making runs. There's a young lad called Azad as well that can bat the top of the order. We have to bring in a proper wicket keeper. That seems to be, and the balance of the side and having somebody competent with the gloves.
You've already got three.
An actual wicket keeper, not a wicket keeper batsman who's not necessarily delivering
in either
way.
Just keep picking one day number sixes.
I think the Bairstow situation is the one we talked about this, that he was given the gloves in February and averages 18 with the bat since then. And he's been batting 7 and then 6 and then 5. You can't have a test match number 5 averaging 18. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, they just never figured out their middle order, did they?
Yeah, and
ended with a series with Ben Stokes batting 4.
And we've ended this season of the County Championship with Ollie Pope's hit another massive score last week. We've got Dom Sibley's carried his bat for 215. There were guys there who
Mark Stoneman made big runs.
Stoneman's
bring him back in.
James Vince hit 123 not out. You know,
how's Gary Bowen going?
He's looked great as Alistair he always Cook. Does. Yeah. So,
he's
you know,
still playing Alistair. We're not Marcus Trzaskowski.
We're not sure of options. I reckon the next the kind of down here we'll have
dominating
something
in the
like. Hopefully Burns continues what seems like a very promising start to his career. Burns and Sibley opening with a proper three. Somebody like Root has to bat 4 if he's going to captain. One of those two things has to change. So maybe Denley does just stick around because he's shown a little bit of mettle, but you wouldn't think his technique was proper test standard. I suspect between now and then
he'll
get
Burns
found
is,
out.
Nor is Steve Smith, to be fair.
True. And then Root, Stokes, obviously that's pretty locked in. Ollie Pope is a guy who's got stacks of runs and stacks of potential. Folks has to come in. Suddenly you look at that 11 and Butler isn't in the top 7. Butler is in the top 7 best bats for England. He will absolutely be there somewhere, there or thereabouts. And then afterwards, I'd love to see more of Sam Curran. I think my biggest frustration this series. No, they won't. Because
they hate picking him. He's too good.
They hate picking him.
Like Ben Maxwell.
They've got into their head with Sam Curran that this is a guy who is Ben Stokes' understudy. You know, what the bloody hell you got that from? Yeah. Stokes is the highest run scorer in the series, batting at five. And he can. Curran is absolutely showed at the
He's
oval.
Good enough to bowl.
He swung it around the place and just hit that line and length beautifully. He's such a great bat. He got Labuschagne and Smith edging the ball through to slips in what was a reasonably flat pitch. He's a cracking cricketer.
He's also 21 years old.
Absolutely right. Get him in there. The next tour is New Zealand. Well, the ball's certainly going to swing there. Mm. And then he goes to South Africa afterwards. So I'd base the attack around Curran on Archer. And then see what else, get Stuart Broad to play the role of bringing through a player, whether it's a Stone or someone like that, that's got a bit of pace and a bit of aggression and somebody that can maybe we can rely on for more overs in the day.
Jack Leach, the spinner moving forward?
Yeah, I think so. And what did I describe him as in our season review? The Ashley Giles for the Ed Sheeran generation.
Yeah.
which I think is about
Another
fair.
The King of Spain, yeah.
Yeah, just the King of Spain just gets out there, is pretty reliable. And if it's a Bunsen on the last day, he may well be able to take four or five wickets.
That's England. That's English spinners for you, really.
Absolutely.
Like in my whole life, the best spinner I've seen England have is probably Graham Swan. He was really, really good.
Yep.
And then the next best after that's probably Phil Tufnell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, that's fair. Sort of where they're at. And that's what English conditions do to blokes, I suppose. And also, like, we'll touch briefly on the very next test each of these sides play. I still think David Warner will open. I think Marcus Harris might be licking his wounds in the Sheffield Shield.
Nah, he's gone.
That point. And maybe Joe Burns will come in. But I actually think the bulk of the rest of the sides are going to be pretty similar. Peter Siddle, no. It's probably going to be James Pattinson if he's fit. But I reckon that 11 will be more or less it. I think Mitch Marsh probably will play a bit of test cricket in Australia this year.
Yeah, he absolutely will. I think he showed the value of having a fifth bowler. You know, he swung the ball around.
He won't get that hooping movement down in Australia, though.
It's a bit different with a couple of day-night tests coming up, though, because you can. It's not as hot in the middle of the day, and the bowlers can bowl a lot more overs, and the ball does a lot more under the light.
But, if he can move it, like he
he did show
conditions
that.
Are in his favour. Yeah. It was similar with Shane Watson, like when he could get a bit of movement.
Yeah, it's just a shame that we keep batting him at six. He's just not a six.
Yeah, if you gave Wade the gloves, you could probably bat. Yeah. Marsh at seven,
if you had an Alex Carey in the side,
I'd love to see Alex Carey come in the side sooner Payne rather than later. But Tim Payne being captain probably stops that happening. And England, do you think it'll be?
Knowing England, we'll look at this and say we beat Australia in the last test that we played. We'll make a maximum of two changes, probably the wicket keeper one, maybe, and one extra bat, which might be Sibley or Pope, depending on where they put him in. Otherwise, it will be pretty similar, I reckon. Yeah. Maybe Chrissy Wokes misses out.
Does Jimmy Anderson play another test? Ever?
Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? What really worries me is that he felt so good before that first test. All of the signs were positive. He felt comfortable. He was coming in. They'd done all the tests. Everyone said, this is great. You're going to absolutely be able to bowl here. We've played it safe. Go and get him. And within four overs, that was it.
Bang.
And there's no doubt, however good he feels going forward, I don't know whether, he will be suitably comfortable and confident, but one would imagine it is because Jimmy Anderson, but whether England are comfortable now to take that risk as well, whether there is a managed exit and maybe one more test. There's no point having a farewell test in New Zealand.
Yeah. No.
So the next Ashes, he'll be 39 in the first ball, and I can't see what he's hanging around for in test cricket if not to play the next Ashes. You know what I mean? Like, I can't really, unless there's a farewell home test. They just played India last year, so they won't have a home series against India. I just can't see what he'd be.
You just know he'll be, like, nicking off David Warner's firstborn son in, like, the 2045 Ashes.
Yeah.
off three steps bowling about 60 mile an hour.
Yeah.
I can see him maybe playing a test next English summer as a sort of farewell.
Just get him coming in from the Jimmy Anderson end one more time.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
Yeah. It would be. What a thing. What a dream. While we're touching on English cricket, you mentioned Dom Sibley making double ton. We just wanted to touch on Kyle Abbott's 17 wickets.
What an effort.
The best first class figures since Jim Laker took 19 wickets in a test at the Oval. I think it was at the Oval. In 1956.
Yep.
So that's some serious stuff. There's a broader conversation to be had that we probably won't have here about why such good South African cricketers end up not playing cricket for South Africa anymore.
Because
it's actually more financially viable for them to play county cricket.
Which is a bit of a joke.
Yeah. It would be, imagine if he was able to play in their World Cup side, for example.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So that's a bit of sweet sort of thing, but yeah. Jesus. Well, he was a 17 for 86.
He was a first choice bowler in all three formats for a while there. And then it got to contract time and it's like, well, he had a family. He almost had to, yeah.
Just about the last thing he did for South Africa was destroy the Aussies and Hobart.
Yeah.
Like forced wholesale changes and like reviews and everything.
Yeah.
Because he was that good. Like he averages 22 at test level and 20 at first class.
Yeah, it's really sad, isn't it? Yeah.
And I think something like 8 of those 17 wickets was bowled or LBW as well. So he's doing it himself. That's pretty serious stuff. We've also we've been keeping an eye on the Caribbean Premier League here in the office because it's on at a wonderful time for
us. We love it. Yeah. We really do.
We just get a lot out of it. Every now and then people will come over and be like, what are you laughing at? And we're like, oh, Jimmy Neesham. He had a nightmare yesterday that would have relived the World Cup final for him a bit. None for 68 off his four, playing for Trinbago Knight Riders against St. Kitts and Nevis Patriots. They needed 19 off the last over to win St. Kitts and Nevis. Neesham went for 18, forced a super over that they lost.
Man, he loves super overs, doesn't he?
Yeah, he was just getting pounded around.
It's not even the worst part of it. His first over went for 31.
Oh, what?
God, yeah.
And then they brought him back on.
They brought him back on.
He bowled his full quota. It's almost like...
He's a batting all-rounder. Like, if you're none for 31 off one, you just park him at fine leg and say, you're done for the day.
Yeah, he'd made runs three more. He'd made 30 off 18 or something with the bat. So, it's not like he hadn't contributed already.
What is going on in the Trinbago department?
Yeah. We also, before we go, we also have the Marsh one-day comp starting on Saturday. Of course, it's named Marsh.
Yeah,
typical. The Marsh Sheffield Shield as well.
We stack half of our test team with them every year.
Yeah, just Marsh, the Australian, the Marsh cricket team overall. And we were going to run through a little intro of that, but I don't think we really have time for it. So we'll chat about that.
Damn, I had about 300 words on Matthew Gilk, so I was really, really revved up for that.
Damn. All right, Ethan, no need for the start.
Come on.
So that starts on Saturday, I believe, and they're playing the first couple of games in Perth and Brisbane, and then it's actually going to be all around Australia.
Yeah, we'll have plenty of content to talk about throughout the coming weeks, I reckon.
I can really see Mitch Stark, I should say, coming in and just taking pole after pole.
He loves that comp.
But yeah, I'm being wound up by Beersy's bed here, so I think it's time to say goodbye, and we'll be back next week and most of the weeks throughout the summer. A bit more cricket.